And we're joined in studio now by Pat Forbes, Executive Director, Louisiana Office of Community Development. In March and August of 2016, 2 years ago, Louisiana experienced two historic rain events producing trillions of gallons of rainwater, impacting 56 of our 64 parishes. The resulting floodwaters caused more than $10 billion in damage, with recovery efforts that remain ongoing more than 2 years later. And that has precipitated a statewide listening tour, meetings around the state, eight of them, to receive technical input from local communities that are at ground zero of flooding across the street, across the state, rather, and speaking across the street. Not far from here, the statewide listening tour has its final stop today in Baton Rouge at the Breck Administrative Office. And Pat Forbes, what have you learned in this initiative?
Good morning, Jim. Great to be here. Well, we've heard from folks around the state in about a lot of different topics. We've talked about technical topics. We've talked with engineers and scientists. We've talked with elected officials. And most of what we have heard is that people are eager for a new approach to floodplain management. We have been managing flood risk around the state, as most states do, across with jurisdictional boundaries in mind. And as we all know, water doesn't adhere to jurisdictional boundaries. And so we've got to do something different. That's what the governor told us in 2016 after all these floods. He said, you've got to go, we've got to figure out how to be smarter at this. And what that means is watershed-based floodplain management.
Well, you've gotten a lot of input on seven stops prior to the one today. What's been the basic concern and perhaps the basic insight as far as what people are experiencing and what they're concerned about?
Well, I think several pieces. One, it has been very, very encouraging how positive people are about the idea, how well informed people are about the idea. We've in the technical sessions, we've found out about lots and lots of data sets that we didn't know were available. We have discovered expertise around the state that we knew was there, we just didn't know where. And we have heard from folks, again, that they understand this is critical. Their concerns are the same as our concerns. How do we do it right to get that watershed organizational structure in place so that people can cooperate on their project decisions, their decisions about codes and ordinances?
Well, what's the next step? You go on these tours and you hear things and perhaps some good ideas, and people sometimes say, well, nothing happens. I'm sure you have other objectives to make something happen. What do you do next?
We absolutely do. So the very first three parts of this process, the governor created the Watershed Council in May. We have been working since shortly after the August floods together, though, at his direction. But the first three steps, one is engagement, which this listening tour is the first step in that engagement process. Another is looking at projects that can be funded that are what we call no regrets. They're low risk, mm-hmm. high benefit projects that are very unlikely to adversely affect upstream or downstream neighbors. And the third part is getting the data and modeling in place so that we can make the bigger, longer-term decisions regarding the money that we're going to be spending. We've got $1.2 billion allocated to the state of Louisiana for mitigation of risks into the future. It has been allocated to us, but we don't have the rules for it yet. So we're not sitting on our hands waiting for those rules. This is what the listening tour is all about, is getting things in place so that we can respond appropriately. But one of the big things to be able to spend that money well is to get the science in place. After Katrina and Rita, we switched our coastal land loss and rebuilding effort to a strictly science and engineering-based approach, and that's exactly what we're planning to do with flood risk.
A listener asked about HUD flood recovery funds. How do they dovetail with what you're doing on this tour?
Well, we're going to see. They have, as I said, allocated $1.2 billion to us through HUD, but we have not seen the rules for those funds yet. We are eagerly awaiting that Federal Register notice that tells us the boundaries for how we can spend the funds.
What's that number again?
$1.2 billion.
With a B.
Correct.
So we're talking about a lot of money.
It's real money. But I tell you, I got a question from somebody at one of our listening tour stops the other day that said, what's the price for completely fixing everything? And I think that the answer that we've all got to come to grips with is that there is no fixing everything. We're going to have floods. The objective here is to get processes and organizational structures in place so that we're continually getting better at it.
877-217-5757 is your number. We're going to spend another segment and close out the hour with Pat Forbes, Executive Director of the Louisiana Office of Community Development. He's been visiting several locations across the state, eight different stops on a listening tour, a watershed listening tour, to find out about what can be done to address what happened 2 years ago and perhaps to thwart any problems that might be associated with future calamities. We'll be back after this quick timeout on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle producing, and your number is 877-217-5757 is your number. Pat Forbes, the Executive Director of the Office of Community Development, is with us, and he has been on seven of his eight stops on a statewide watershed initiative listening tour, and the last stop is today at the Breck Administration at 6201 Florida Boulevard. It's ongoing, and Pat has actually taken time out from that to be with us today. So once again, if you'd like to get in, we will go to the phone lines in just a moment. It's 877-217-5757. The previous stops over the last 5 weeks have been in Lafayette, Monroe, Alexandria, Shreveport, Houma, Lake Charles, Hammond, and Baton Rouge. And Tracy at the Capitol asks online if you're going to make any stops beyond the eight stops that you've already done or you will have done by the end of today.
Absolutely, Jim. So one of the things that I mentioned earlier is about engagement, and we understand that this process cannot be a state-driven, top-down kind of process. And so what that means is constant engagement with folks around the state for multiple reasons. I mean, one is we have a huge amount of expertise about local conditions as well as modeling, engineering, those sorts of things. But we also know that you can't just go shove a plan down people's throats. They've got to understand the benefits of it, and then it's got to be their plan. And so that's the whole reason for the listening tours and for the continuing engagement that we'll be doing. What we haven't done so far is public meetings, which would be the next step for us. But this is going to be an ongoing conversation. It's not a one-time thing.
877-217-5757 is your number. Let's go to Lynn in Melrose. Lynn, you're on Talk Louisiana with Pat Forbes. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Jim. Good morning, Pat.
Hi, Lynn.
I wanted to float an idea that I've been, I wanted to whisper to you an idea I've been floating for your tour. It's kind of radical, but I'm now advocating, at least considering, including East Baton Rouge Parish and the official coastal parishes. I'd like to know because I think it was a coastal issue in August 2016, and not because of partly backwater flooding, and I think we're in the coastal zone. I wonder what the fiscal implications of that decision would be. Anyway, I'll take my question off the air.
Thanks, Lynn. It's a great question. As you know, we have great modeling and science and data in the coastal zone right now. And one of the challenges that we face, frankly, in our modeling and data efforts for the watersheds is how we mesh those two together. Because as you pointed out, they are absolutely tied together. If the Lake Pontchartrain and Lake Maurepaw fill up, the water's going to flow out more slowly. So we are looking. That will be one of the engineering and modeling challenges for us. But it's absolutely critical that we get that right.
Thank you, Lynn. Good to hear from you. 877-217-5757 or talk@talklouisiana.org. And another question, how is the Watershed Initiative funded?
So the funds that HUD sent us for recovery from the March and August 2016 floods so far, the $1.7 billion, we have set aside $9.8 million for this effort so far. That was not knowing that we had the $1.2 billion coming, but the $1.2 billion is what will continue to fund the effort.
And how will it be allocated as far as disbursements?
So there's a lot of work to do. As I said earlier, we are planning on gathering data. DOTD is flying LIDAR over the whole state. That's a method of establishing geography. They'll have that done by this spring. We've got to do models for the whole state. That's not free. And then there will be project funding. The governor has made it clear that we can't afford to sit on our hands while these models are done and then start funding projects two or three years from now. So we're also looking for projects that are going to make people safer now that we can do these low-risk projects. But, that's...
Lindsay and Eunice. Lindsay, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with our guest, Pat Forbes. Hi, Lindsay.
Good morning, gentlemen. I was just curious how some of the nascent technologies like permeable asphalt or concrete have factored into your thinking about all of this, if at all. I know the Michelin Corporation in France is working on stuff like that, and I know that would be sort of a down the road issue, but I wondered if that had ever come up in these kinds of discussions.
Absolutely. It's a great question. We recognize that reducing the flow of water into the streams plays a huge role in reducing flood impacts downstream, and permeable pavement, detention and retention on site, regional, all those things are going to be part of the menu of options. I think the beauty part of the models is that what those models will do for us is allow us to see the benefits of things like permeable pavement and to get a cost-benefit analysis that can point out that, in fact, that's a great approach to reducing flood risk.
877-217-5757. There is still time to get in with Pat Forbes, Executive Director, Louisiana Office of Community Development, and we go to Josh in New Iberia. Hello, Josh. You're on the air with Pat Forbes.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my question.
Hi, Josh.
Okay, so it's kind of twofold. The first being, what are we going to do about the greater effects of climate change that are causing some of these big storms? Between the hurricanes that are coming in and then just these storms that just have massive amounts of water and then just kind of sit on top of us. My brother was in Abbeville, and his house was almost flooded out, but thankfully he was on stilts back whenever the big floods happened there. And then the other thing is the pipelines that we have run through Louisiana. You can look up the maps of them. They've kind of ripped and teared through a lot of our state, so we don't have, the soil that we need anymore to contain it. The water just kind of, runs around them,
Thanks, Josh. With respect to climate change, I think the governor has said many times it looks like these storms are going to get worse, and I think that this goes back to what I said earlier. There's no price tag for how we can make the state perfectly safe from flooding. The objective of this process is to just make every one of our watersheds and the whole state, consequently, better and better and better as time goes on at reducing that risk. So I think that's all we can do because things are liable to change and potentially get worse. With respect to pipelines, I think that's more of a coastal issue. I just do not address that. I don't know that impacts the work that we're doing on watersheds.
Mm-hmm. Well, in your position, and certainly since the governor took office, there have been numerous catastrophes, and the reaction is, of course, always pertinent to discussion. And the governor has gotten largely good reviews, but there are some who have said that the process is too slow. How do you answer people who have that concern?
I think that both the governor and I would agree that the process is too slow. I think that the federal requirements for first getting and then spending the funds for recovery don't match the job of recovery. They have to be faster. I think that there's legislation. I think Congressman Graves has some legislation pending that would change the way funds are allocated for disaster recovery, that would make funds immediately available. That would be a great blessing for everybody in the country who winds up suffering a catastrophic disaster and needing recovery funds, because it does take too long. Although we have done it faster than anybody has ever done it on this scale.
And for people who'd like more information, there is a way to access that online.
That's correct. We've got a website. It is watershed.la.gov. There is also an email there. We follow that email and respond to it on a daily basis. So let me see. I'm sorry. I'm looking up the...
While you're doing that, let's go to Ray in Prairieville. Ray, you're on with Pat Forbes. Good morning.
Thanks for taking the call, Jim. Just one quick question for Mr. Forbes. Has he heard any mention of the idea of putting a pumping station on the end of Bayou Man Shack at the levee, so that when we got the flooding in the bayou, that could have been ameliorated by pumping most of the water back into Mississippi? Appreciate an answer on that. I haven't seen anything in the newspapers at all on that type.
Thanks very much. Yes, I used to work in the governor's office coastal activities some 14 years ago, and that was an idea that was floated back then. I think, as we all know, the Bayou Man Shack used to run into the Mississippi River, and we've not heard that project idea proposed during this process, but I have certainly heard of that in the past.
Bob in Kenilworth, you'll be our final caller. Please be brief. Bob, you're on with Pat Forbes.
Hey, Pat. How are you doing?
Hey, Bob. Thanks for calling.
Quick chance for you to comment on this issue. We talk about a lot about the cost of flood insurance and how we need to make our projects optimized to reduce the cost of flood insurance.
Sure. Well, that's absolutely an objective of this. We don't know whether we will reduce flood insurance rates. What we want to do is make sure that we optimize the use of every funding source that we have now and into the future to reduce flood risk. So that's the objective, and it's what we got to do.
And you can go online at watershed.la.gov and find out much more information. And, of course, this is a story that has legs, and we'll follow it. Pat Forbes, hopefully he'll be back with us again soon.
Thanks much, Jim.
And until tomorrow, for Matt Doyle, I'm Jim Inkster. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.